Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 hello. Great morning to you. It is Wednesday, June 24th, 2015. You have tuned into Couch Conversation. The show is an outreach of Blessed and Know It Ministries, virtual ministry for virtually everybody. Always available to you via our website, BakiMinistry.wix.com/Baki. Also check us out on social media, Facebook, Google+, Vine, Instagram, Twitter. We are all over the World Wide Web, making sure that you remember that your life is worth living and living out loud. I'm your host, Rev J, and I am excited that you've tuned in today. We are just going to jump right in. As many of you know, we've switched gears a little bit. We're now doing a Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday broadcast live at 7 a.m., always available for replay. And a focus for the next few weeks, at least, is going to be focused on the family. And so we're not just giving individual support. We're going for a family route, because once we get the individual, you know, on the right track, then we're going to give you the supports to help other people out. And it may not be just the people who live in your immediate household. I'm your host, Rev J, and I'm going to jump on in. So today we're talking about the Oreo generation. Oreo generation? Like the Oreo sandwich cookie. The people who are actually the cream, the middle part. You're sandwiched in. You have aging parents. You have children. You are taking care of both, and you are in the middle. Now, of course, if you Google Oreo generation, you're going to come up and see Jeff Foxworthy, his comedy skit from like 10 years ago, and it is hilarious if you're in that situation. You can so relate to the jokes, and it's so funny, and I highly recommend that, you know, you listen to it. Why? Because comedy and laughter is medicine, and so even if you're going through a rough patch right now, being a part of the Oreo generation, listen to that, take a couple minutes, and just relax and laugh. It'll help out a lot. Well, at least it did for me. So, again, the Oreo generation is the people who are in the middle. You have parents on one end, you have your kids on the other end, and you're kind of taking care of or providing or caretaking for both. Whew, doesn't that sound like a recipe that's interesting? It does. Excuse me. As someone who's been in that role and now is currently back in that role, I can definitely attest there are great highs to being there. Of course, I'm all about, you know, instilling wisdom into a younger generation. And because I have not experienced as much life as the generation who came before me, having my children being able to be exposed to that wisdom, that knowledge is phenomenal, is priceless, is a beautiful thing. Then having my parents, my grandparents, you know, being exposed to my children, and the funny stuff that they do and just the interesting stuff that they do and their interaction with each other is just dynamic. Now, that's the good side of it. The other side is there are generational differences. There are things that have just changed through the ages, and getting both of them to come to some sort of common ground and see, hey, your way was this way, our way is this way, their way is that way, and having all of us live and manage and try to balance, that's where some technical difficulties can come into play. Now, if you're a part of the Oreo generation, you already know. If you're not a part of the Oreo generation and you're thinking of maybe, hey, how can I make this work or blend this, or, you know, if you're having a struggle, a setback, or a decision-making opportunity, I say make sure you have enough supports set up for yourself. Meaning, we did series maybe about a year or two ago, Taking Care of the Caregiver. Suggest you guys go back and listen to that. And also make sure you have at least one good friend who is in a similar situation, so you have at least one sounding board who can relate to you and totally think that you're not selfish and crazy and all of that. Get at least one. After you get at least one good friend, also join a support group. I joined one that's called Parenting Our Parents. It's online. Yeah, it just gives you the opportunity to breathe. And again, in any and every situation, it reminds you that you are not alone. And remember, this is part of the enemy's tricks, to think that you're alone, you're isolated, no one knows, no one's going through this, woe is me, and to get you on that pity party spiral. But once you get around like-minded people who are doing something similar, you realize, okay, I can do this, which is a breath of relief. It has been done before. I do not have to reinvent the wheel, and I am not alone. And all of those things, you know, mesh together to help give you the support you need to, one, keep going on your journey, and two, to make sure you're taking care of you, making sure, you know, you're not doing things, I don't know, a lot of us have family issues, so you make sure you're not doing things in a spiteful way. Like, yeah, Aunt Susie, you can come live with me because I remember when you used to da-da-da-da-da-da. And, you know, you're using your passive aggressiveness to take out whatever family frustrations you've had from 1873 that you've been holding now to 2015. No, it's not worth it. If at all, if it gets that stressful or if that's sad, or if you're thinking of doing it for the wrong reasons, you're thinking of doing it just for the money, or you're thinking of doing it just for the revenge or things of that, then you don't need to do it. The things you need to do is from your heart. Because elder care, elder abuse and child abuse in public settings happens all the time. When I say public settings, I mean like daycare or for the kids, like preschool or community events. These things happen all the time. When I say elder care, I mean like nursing homes, rehabilitation centers, even hospitals. These things happen when people are not checking in on their loved ones, when they're not caring for their loved ones, when you're not just popping up. Because if they know no one's watching them, they can get away with more stuff. And as someone who used to go to nursing homes to make regular routine visits, then pop up just to make sure things were the same. Like, oh, if you know I'm coming on Thursday, things look a certain way on Thursday, but you'll know I'm coming on Tuesday, so I'm going to pop in on Tuesday and see what's really going on. And just to make sure that your loved one is getting quality care, because not everyone is in the business of providing quality care. Make sure you do your research when you're looking at places to place your loved one. If the home setting is not it, make sure you are able to make a well-informed choice, because anybody can look good on paper, in a brochure, or on a website. Go in, hear the recommendations, talk to other families, see what they're actually saying, see what's actually going on, what kind of food are they serving, what kind of care or what kind of training has the staff had, what's the mandate. Not what's the bare minimum, what's the mandate to, training that the staff has to have. Do they have compassion training, and do they know about hospice, and do they have all of this knowledge already so that they can make the informed decisions and keep you in the loop, or are they just there to get a paycheck? Do they not care, you know, about their position? And those are the things you, as the person in the Oreo, the cream, you're going to feel smushed, and you're going to feel a whole lot of things while you're in that situation, but you have to be strong, because you wouldn't be put in the situation if you could not handle it. And I know a lot of situations come at us like, oh my God, I can't handle it. If one more thing happens, I'm going to scream. Well, when you say that, you're really inviting that one more thing to happen. And you can scream all you want to, but life is just going to keep happening. But again, if you inform yourself, if you make these informed decisions, if you surround yourself with support systems and support groups, and make sure you got that one good friend that's a sounding board, you just spit it all out on and release it rather than carrying it around you, so it could be some more emotional baggage that's weighing you down on this journey called life. And the same goes in with the kids in their school system and their PTA meetings and just pop-up visits to the classroom. Last week in the headlines, it's crazy. I want to say it was in Texas, but I'm not exactly sure. But last week in the headlines, there was this dad who popped in on his daughter at preschool, found the teacher crouching down beside his daughter during nap time, asked what was going on. Teacher's like, oh, I was just tickling her. You know, she was having a hard time going to sleep or whatever, what have you. Oh, they was like, oh, okay. And he's like, he felt kind of weird about it. So then he got the daughter outside the school, took her home, and on the ride home, the daughter says, Daddy, he wasn't tickling me. He was touching me in my private place. And anyway, it led to an investigation. The teacher's like, well, I accidentally might have, yada, 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 not going into a lot of details. So there were charges pressed and all of that. But what if the dad had not popped up? Would the daughter have, you know, had the tools to say, to tell, did he prevent something worse from happening? It's just a whole bunch of things. That's why you have to be informed and involved. You have to be on a first-name basis with people. You have to investigate the school setting and what kind of background checks have you done for your people and what kind of evaluations are you doing for your people, and be that concerned parent because you are now an advocate. You are the voice of your child, and if you're an Oreo generation, you're the voice of your child. You're a voice for the older member of your family, and you have to be willing to be that advocate, be that lawyer, be that defense system, be that shield, be that buffer in all of that. And yeah, there are times where you're going to want someone to be all that for you, and so you're going to have to start sowing those seeds and acting that out and drawing your strength from the higher source and refueling yourself and charging yourself and studying and educating yourself, because there will be days, not necessarily where someone will be abusing your child like that, but there will be days where you're going to have to battle for your child or for your loved one or even for yourself, for your own sanity, like, because there will be days when all of that is going to be tested. But if you build yourself up, or as you build yourself up and as you build your support team and as you say, hey, I need help, and actually receive the help that you're asking for, and just because the help doesn't come the way you want it, just because they don't do things X, Y, and Z the way you like, if at the end of the day everything's being done, don't complain. Don't micromanage. Let it be, because you need the help. So appreciate the help that you're getting. So another aspect of the Oreo generation is that you're going through your own issues. And as a caregiver, as a loved one, as someone who's trying to be, quote-unquote, Superman, or Superwoman, you know, whatever the case may be, you're trying to maintain all of that. Do not neglect yourself. I think that self-care is one of the most overlooked areas of all care. I'm not just talking about go get your nails done and go get your hair done, but that's great to get you out of the house and get you out of the environment and as a break from your quote-unquote reality. That's fine and good, but I'm also talking about meditation and prayer and studying. You have to have that quiet time where it's just you, where you are so focused just on you, and check in with your body like, whoa, I made appointments for everybody else to go to the doctor. What about my appointments? Oh my gosh, everyone else has had their dental checkups. What about my checkups? You have to maintain you, and it does seem overwhelming at times, and it does get to you at times, of course. You're human, you're going through life, you're in your whatever age that you're in, somewhere between 30 and 50, and you've got all these responsibilities, and you've got all these demands and all these burdens and all these people who are depending on you. Yes, it's taxing. Yes, it's wearing. But at the same time, it beats the alternative all day, every day. Because we have people who are alone, who are isolated, who are alienated, who wish they could have some sort of responsibility, who long to have people around them. And so they do all sorts of self-destructive behaviors to get attention. They do all sorts of living in the past to get attention. They do all sorts of stuff, and they just fall by the wayside, and people aren't even noticing. And so not to compare yourself to other people, but in a way, yeah, definitely look, your situation could be so much worse. You could be standing at graveside after graveside after graveside with no one around you. You could be standing beside bedside after bedside after bedside where no one has any hope or optimism or positivity to offer you. So there will be times where you have to make sure you are taking care of you so that you can take care of everyone else. Not sure how you're going to be able to take care of people if you're stretched out somewhere because of stress. And remember, stress is that silent thing that sneaks in and creeps in, and it'll start clogging your arteries, and all of a sudden you got chest pain. It'll start clogging your mind, and all of a sudden you're having panic attacks. It'll start clogging your reality, and all of a sudden you're like, wait, is everyone against me? You get all these weird symptoms. No one knows where it's coming from, but at the end, at the root, when you get all the doctors together, like, wow, that's stress. That right there is stress, and that's stress that you've taken on based upon your perception of the situation. So if you're part of this Oreo generation, what's the first thing you need to do? You need to make sure this is something that you are doing out of a passion or out of love. You need to make sure you have at least one good friend who's in a similar situation that you can go back and forth and talk to and listen to and vent with. You need to make sure there's a support system in place You don't have to do everything. There's plenty of agencies out there that will help you on both ends of that spectrum to help with the kids, help with the adults, help with the loved ones. And, yes, it's a process. And, yes, the paperwork is ridiculous. But once the ball is rolling and things start happening, your level of anxiety, stress, pressure can decrease. And go down, you can breathe and have the aha moment and all that. Yes, you need to go ahead and make sure you have planned your or penciled yourself into your own calendar because you are a priority in your life. You need to make sure of that. You need to not do things out of a place of resentment, like, I can't believe my cousin's not helping with such a... We cannot control other people. What we can do is we can take care of ourselves the best that we can so that we can take care of others the best that we can and be there in that support. Now, there is nothing like the joy. Like, the joys and the rewards outweigh everything else if you let it. It's like anything in life. It's how you're looking at it, how you receive it, how you perceive it, and how you process it. So it could be a blessing or it could be a curse. It's all on how you look at it. I can't believe this is going on again. Or, wow, I can't believe it's going on again. Yeah, it's really that simple. It's about a mindset. It's not just about one personality because I have said for the longest, I know my personality. I can't do X, Y, Z. There's no way I can do S, T, V. No way, it's not going to happen. I will pay people to do STUV. I will do whatever I have to do to make sure STUV are done, but I'm not the one to do it. Come to find out, life happens. I'm now doing STUV. I didn't even know I could. But now that I know I could, I didn't even know that it would work if I tried. But the other thing is I did try, and so there's no regrets from anything because I put forth effort. Like, wow. So I don't have to do or take on the brunt of all this responsibility. If we can get all the units to work together and see the benefits of having multiple generations cohabitating or have multiple generations visiting each other, maintaining some sort of constant contact, working with the facilities to let them know, hey, I am involved, I am here, I'm popping up, I'm popping in, and I have scheduled visits. I'll help you guys with my loved one as much as possible, and I'll help my loved one with you as well. Not that I'm advocating for either side, but I'm advocating for what's right, and human rights wins out every time. And so those are the things that you need to know. Like, if this is something you're about to embark on, if this is something you're about to do, think about it. Because it makes no sense to me, this is what I'll say, it makes no sense to have family members just out there in the wind. Go get your people. Go check on your people. Go extend a hand to your people. Not everyone's going to take you up on it. Not everyone thinks that, you know, it'll happen, and I'm not saying open up your doors and, you know, start a community center out of your house. What I am saying is that when we have family members who are out there, we need to be in contact with them. We need to check on them. We need to make sure they're okay because they're our family for a reason, and they were our family first. Before we had Playmates, before we had all this other stuff, before there was apps and Androids and all that to keep people in contact, we had family first. And at the end and the beginning of the day, family needs to be exactly that. You need to check on your people. You need to go see your people. If you've got loved ones in some sort of residential situation, youth, adult, young adult, incarceration, whatever that is, go check on your people. Anything can happen, and it happens in a blink of an eye. And what you don't want is to be the one with regrets. Man, I should have called so-and-so back. Man, it's too late. While you're sitting here looking at an obituary to go back and erase or eradicate or say the same thing that you could have said. Go check on your people. Go get your people. Yes, it can be stressful. Yes, all of that. I understand. Go check on your people. Like, I don't even know how else to say that. A couple years ago in Ohio, I do remember this one, there was a man who had died. And for like months, no one knew this man was dead. In his house, he's just there and dead. And this isn't, like, this isn't news because, of course, it doesn't, if it was to say, if it doesn't bleed, it doesn't lead with news stories. But this happens more and more and more. We don't know who our neighbors are. You know, we think that we know their routine. We kind of watch certain things, but we just kind of let other things go. Like, well, I haven't seen so-and-so in a while. I haven't heard from so-and-so in a while. When they come across your mind and your heart, Go check on them. Go check on your friends. Go check on the family members. Stop by. Knock on the door. Something's not right. Hey, you can't get in contact with someone. Call the police. Let them know. Call someone. Let them know. Like, hey, I went by to check on your uncle, and, you know, he never answered the doors. Everything okay? He could be on vacation. Sure. But I'd rather be safe than to be sorry. I'd rather have something in place to say, hey, we did at least check. Or, hey, guess what? I got some extra groceries. Just wondering if you can use a bag. It's that time of year. A lot of farmers and gardeners and things of that nature are going on. When you go pick your strawberries and cherries and all that stuff, give a bag to someone who you haven't visited in a while. Give a bag to that neighbor who rarely comes out of their house. It means the world to people when you show them that you care. Not just tell them, but show them when you put that love into action. And no, you may not be the one who can do stuff on a regular basis, but just the stuff that you do can make a big, huge difference in someone's life, because as you're going through your transitions, they're going through transitions as well. And sometimes, well, a lot of times, we don't like to go through those transitions alone. We don't like to feel alone. We don't want to feel isolated. And we may not know how to weather the storm. And again, there's the enemy who will constantly remind you and tell you, you're alone, you're isolated, no one loves you, and that weighs on you. And depression can set in, and downness and just heavy-heartedness can set in. But having someone, anyone, comes to check on you and to listen for a good 5-10 minutes could mean the world to someone else. Are we really that busy? Are we really that overly involved in our own lives that we've gotten to the point we don't even check on people anymore, that we're not returning phone calls and following up on things? I'm not saying, you know, go out there and start a parade. Oh, we got to do this, we got to do that, and lead the whole community action group, unless that's your calling, unless that's what you're led to do. What I am saying is check on your people. There are people in your circle, in your family, that need someone just to check in. Not necessarily, you know, go to every doctor's appointment and set up everything and follow-up visits, but just check in on them because it matters, and it helps them to feel like they matter. And we're all important to the global perspective. We're all important to the community perspective, and our lives are worth living and living out loud. If you can share that message with someone somewhere between the cradle and the grave, you've done a great job. And if you can, you know, display that in your life, you're doing excellent work. It never hurts us to be good and kind and loving and just to someone else. It never hurts us to advocate for someone else. It doesn't hinder you in any way, shape, or form to just check in on somebody and be like, hey, you're on my mind. Send a get well card. Go in person is even better. Just let people know as they're thought about. It means the world. And if you're in a place right now where you don't have family members around, you can definitely volunteer your time at any of these senior centers or nursing homes. Go and check out the process and be that for somebody in the world. You are needed. Your purpose is needed. Your calling is needed. Your gifts are needed. And there are plenty of places, residential facilities, juvenile detention facilities, that would love for you to come in and do a study, a Bible study, show them your talent, teach a couple of sessions during the summer. They are so open to that. And you'd be surprised who you could touch and how that ripple effect or butterfly effect will go out into the world. And there's nothing like sowing goodness and sowing kindness and sowing patience and sowing peace and sowing love, because those are the things that we need. Why not sow them for someone else? Why not be that for someone else at their whatever stage in life? There are preschools who would love for you to come in and read stories, or community centers that would love for you to come in and volunteer your time and teach people how to crochet or to sew or to knit or, you know, whatever your talents may be. But don't just keep that to yourself, because as you do that, that's selfish. That's unfair for you not to share that with someone, to let them find their own way, but to also guide them with words of wisdom. You never know what conversations are sparked while people are, quote-unquote, distracted with crafts or with arts or with music or with something else. And you could be that everything for that moment to someone else if you come out of yourself. So as we get I guess kind of back on track with the Oreo part of situations. It seems like a lot of times a rock and a hard place, but that pressing place that you're in right now could be the very refining place that you need for this next session of your life. Some things you don't need to carry with you, so if it presses out the selfishness, if it presses out the overuse of your cell phone, if it presses out the distractions of life and helps you to focus, then that's where you need to be. That's what you need to do. If it helps teach you time management so that you now have to juggle 14 schedules compared to just the one, then, hey, that's the lesson that you need to go to the next session of your life, to go to the next ledge of your life, to go higher in what you need to do. If it teaches you or forces you to study and to apply the biblical applications, or pushes you to go back and to do the things that you need to correct in your life so you're not on the same track as someone else, or you're on a better track for you and for the generations looking at you or looking up to you. You see what I'm saying? Everything that we go through has a purpose. A lot of it is lessons. And as soon as we learn the lesson and we get the oil or the juice out of the situation, the sooner we can move forward in the gift called life. But if you don't have all the tools to move forward and you move forward prematurely, you are not ready for the blessing, for the opportunity, for the lesson. You're not ready for the test. And then you come back feeling defeated, like, again, something else isn't working out in my life, but you have not acquired the tools to help you move forward. You've not acquired the tools that will help you be the best version of you in this area, this section that you're in right now. So now you can't move forward. So it's like essentially, you know, the kids, they get promoted based upon their achievements in most cases, at least that's how it should be. But based upon their achievements and what they were able to learn that school year. And so based upon that, then they get promoted. The same is true in life. If you would like to move forward from where you are now, if you would like help and all that stuff for where you are now in your Oreo situation, you need to be able to pass this area of your life. So if it's a pressing place, figure out what is being squeezed out of you. Find out what the lesson is. Get it. Grasp it. Hold it. Hold on to it. Learn the lesson. Show that you've learned the lesson and watch what happens. You'll move forward. New opportunity will come. New doors will open. It may be patience. It may be whatever personal trait you need to work on. But whatever it is, it will speak to you. You'll know what it is. And things will start happening where you can move forward. But it won't happen until you figure out what is the lesson? What is all of this? It may happen while you're stretched out on the floor crying and sobbing and releasing it. Or it may happen when you're screaming at the top of your lungs. Or it just may happen when you're in a store and you just pass this magazine rack and there's a headline. And that headline speaks to you. Whichever way it is, it'll come. You just have to hold on. And you have to hold on to hope. And you have to hold on to optimism. And you have to hold on to positivity. Because what will happen? As you're being pressed, it really feels like so bad. It really feels kind of like you're cheese and you're just being grated up and down, up and down. And you're like, I don't even recognize me anymore. There's just little pieces and fragments of me, yada, yada, yada. But if you've ever, I don't know if you've ever done this, try to make grilled cheese with a slice of cheese where everything's all together compared to making grilled cheese with shredded cheese, and it just melts so much better when it's shredded and evenly coating the bread for your next situation. There may have to be a grating process where you are not the person you used to be, and it feels like you're a bunch of but that grating process is so that you can go through the heat of the next situation and come out better than you were before. That's all I'm saying. I hope everyone in the Oreo generation breathes well today, knowing, hey, there are supports out there. I just have to seek them out. There are online support groups, there are community support groups, and there are people in your situation who you can vent to and talk with who will help you realize it's not as bad as you think. And if it is that bad, they can help point you in the right direction to get the additional help that you may need to make it through. And you guys just continue to stay tuned with our posts, you know, our support groups and stuff that I'm a part of on our Facebook page, so we can all grow together and be strong and be strengthened and be the advocate that we need to be and be empowered for this next leg of this journey that we call life. You guys have another great day, and I'll be back tomorrow. That's right, every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, live, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, Couch Conversations, hosted by Rev J. As always, may the God of peace rest, rule, and abide with you, now, henceforth, and forevermore. Y'all have a good one. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.